Blog Talk Radio.
Deliberately
strip everything that was usable or viable in order to cripple the land permanently. And not only that, they were devastating warriors. Those whom they took into slavery often are those whom they captured were oftentimes stripped naked. The noses of such individuals were routinely cut off and hooks placed through their lips, and they were led off in great lines, chained, moved out of the land so that they could never regroup and come together and form an uprising or a coup or any type of rebellion against the Assyrians. And so this was a very frightening prospect, and God wanted the people of the Northern Kingdom to understand that, yes, they were indeed enjoying prosperity and luxury, but there was this this coming judgment, because God had seen through the fiction of their pretenses, and God had seen through the veil of their lies and horrible things had been in the law courts for the poor, and how that there was no justice in the law courts, and that the poor were treated in a very terrible manner. So this is what the Lord says through Amos in chapter 2. This is verse 4, Amos 2:4. This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Judah, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because they have rejected the law of the Lord, or the Torah, and have not kept his decree, because they have led astray, they have been led astray by false gods, the gods of their ancestors followed. I will send fire upon Judah that will consume the fortresses of Jerusalem. So that prophecy is to the southern kingdom of Judah, which comprised both Judah and Benjamin. Next is the prophecy upon Israel, beginning in verse 6. This is what the Lord says, for three sins of Israel, that is the northern kingdom. And please keep in mind that Amos was sent from the southern kingdom of Judah to teach or to prophesy in the northern kingdom. For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath. They sell the righteous for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as upon the dust of the ground, and deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl, and so profane my holy name. And you know what that means. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. In the house of their God, they drink wine taken as fine. I destroyed the Amorite before them, though he was tall as the cedars and strong as the oaks. I destroyed his fruit below and his roots below, his fruit above and his roots below. I brought you up out of Egypt, and I led you 40 years in the desert to give you the land of the Amorites. Also, I raised up prophets from among your sons, excuse me, and Nazarites from among your young men. Is it not true, people of Israel, declares the Lord, but you made the Nazarites drink wine? In other words, you corrupted them and commanded the prophets not to prophesy. Does this sound familiar? is so apropos to study Amos and reflect very carefully on his message, because his message is appropriate for our day when the Word of God has been watered down. And notice, and he commanded the prophets not to prophesy. So one would think, well, these are other people of God. And one could well imagine that those who did not know Yahweh Elohim would not want to listen to his word. But his own, the ones that to whom he had vouchsafed the word of God, said to the prophets of God, do not prophesy. They knew, in other words, they knew the weight of the Devar Yahweh, and they did not want it in their lives. And so they were commanded, that is, the ones who knew the Lord, who knew the word, were commanded to keep silent. Verse 13. Now then, I will crush you as a cart crushes when loaded with grain. Now then, I will crush you as a cart crushes when loaded with grain. See, God knows that this is willful rejection of his word. See, God knows that this is volitional. This is an act of the will. This was a determination on the part of his people not to hear his word, not to be accountable to him any longer. See, God's people knew that when the prophet spoke, he was giving them constructive notice about what was going on with them and what would happen if they would continue in a certain path that they knew were wrong. And they knew they were practicing behavior that was outside of the will of Yahweh. They knew this, and so therefore they did not want God's compelling witness over them. Verse 14, the swift will not escape, the strong will not muster their strength, and the warrior will not save his life. The archer will not stand his ground, the fleet-footed soldier will not get away, and the horseman will not save his life. Even the bravest warriors will flee naked on that day, declares the Lord. Now, God's people were living in self-deception. And self-deception is a disease of the spirit. And it is a willful disease of the spirit. In other words, self-deception is engendered after one has willfully rejected the word of God. And so self-deception is autogenic. That is, it proceeds from and is created by the individual. It is an autogenic disease. It is autogenic. And so self-deception is a process of denying or rationalizing away the relevance, significance, or importance of opposing evidence and logical argument. This is a very, very deep topic, but I want see here that they are in violation of their exclusive relationship with Yahweh, and we call this election. The doctrine of election in the Old Testament. In chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "Hear this word of the Lord." Again, "Hear this word. The Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel." And so, the Debar, Yahweh, is made prominent. "Hear this word." "You only have I known or chosen," yada, it is in the Cal Perfect, in the Hebrew, "of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your sin." Pagad, punish, that means to attend to. Yahweh had been faithful, yet Israel had not been faithful to him. And for this reason, the nation will be judged. Verse 3, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Does a lion roar in the thicket when he has no prey? Does he growl in his den when he has caught nothing? Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground where no snare has been set? Does a trap spring up from the earth when there is nothing to catch? When a trumpet sounds in the city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." And this is a very, very famous verse. "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." Now, in verse 2, where we read, "I will punish you for all your sin," the Hebrew word is avon, and it means perversity or depraved action. It also means a cry. And the root of this particular word means to bend, twist, or distort. In other words, I want to give you a picture of what has happened to the people of God as they have neglected real worship and true worship. Again, in verse 8, we have the word picture of a lion. "The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" Please listen to these words. "The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" And if you remember in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah had said that he would no longer speak the word of God. He tried to hold back from speaking the truth. He said that he wanted no more to speak the word of God. But notice what God says to the prophet. I'm going to read from Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah 5:12. "They have lied about the Lord. They said he will do nothing. No harm will come to us. We will never see sword or famine. The prophets are but wind, and the word is not in them. So let what they say be done to them. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says: because the people have spoken these words, I will make my words in your mouth a fire. I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood it consumes." See, this is a picture of the weighty presence, the weighty presence of the Dabar Yahweh. This is the weighty presence of the Dabar Yahweh, and Amos is preaching to a people who are bent on disobeying what the Lord says to them. Now, if you want a real picture of psychopathology in the scriptures, read the book of Jeremiah and read the practices of the people of God in both the books of Amos and Jeremiah. Read what they say. Read what they believe they are going to continue practicing in spite of what the Word of God has said to them. These are people, these are God's own people who know election and who know His grace and who had inscripturated for them what God did to Pharaoh in his rebellion and what God did to His own people in the wilderness who overthrew themselves through disbelief and unfaithfulness. They have these things in scripture, inscripturated. The crossing of the Jordan at flood stage. And the drawing of the waters back to Adam. And the return of the Jordan at flood stage after all the people of God had crossed over. These are the people who knew that God defeated Jericho without a battle, but through obedience. They knew these things. They understood this history. They knew salvation history. They were a part of salvation history. They knew Hills Geschichte. Salvation history was theirs. And yet, we see that they have refused to listen to God. Now, in chapter 7 of Amos, there is this famous confrontation between Amos and Amaziah. He was a priest at Bethel, and Bethel means house of God. And false worship was going on in the house of God. God's people were worshiping, and their worship was false. And God had called for His people to show real piety through appropriate social justice. And this was not happening. God says in verse 21 of chapter 5, I hate, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies, even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings. I will not accept them, though you bring choice fellowship offerings. I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I like that a lot. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll down like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Very famous verse. Very key verse. Where is the social justice? Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestals of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. Woe! are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria. See, God knows intimately the attitudes, that sense of being covered, that sense that nothing can happen to me as long as I have luxury, I have money, we have this powerful army. What does God mean by these words? What could possibly go wrong? And see, the premise of that thinking is fallacious. And so the thinking begins with a fallacy that was constructed out of self-deception. And hence, the destructive thinking, a faulty, unfounded premise produced a fallacy in their thinking, and therefore you see the deconstruction of a people, of a culture, the disintegration of appropriate concern for the have-nots, for the poor, for the powerless. God says, where's the social justice? Where's the social justice? Where's the appropriate concern for your brother? And God looked upon the abuse. And God says, I'm going to move in a way that you will not believe. God says, what you have sown, that is what you shall reap too. And I cannot recount for you on this show the brutalities that the Assyrians inflicted on these people. And today, I see the same thing going on. The watering, the watered-down presentation of truth, the failed attempt, the weakened attempt, the anemic attempt to help the people of God. Jeremiah writes that the prophets attended the wounds of my people lightly. That is, they did not take them seriously. God sees this. God sees through the veneer. God sees this. And God will act one day. God is acting right now. In our next show, we're going to look specifically at chapter 6 and this famous encounter between Amos and Amaziah, in which Amaziah the priest, this is chapter 6, verse 10. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. This is what the message read. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. We're going to look at that statement. And there's a very deep message in that one sentence. Amaziah had captured the essence of the divine Yahweh. He knew what was going on. And he wanted Amos to leave because he realized the depth of his message. We live in a day in which we should pray for our leaders. We should pray for them. We should pray for our people. We should pray for the nations of the world. We should pray for the mercy of God. We should pray for those who suffer horrible violence during our time. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.